My name's Matt, if I haven't met you before. It's good to be here this morning. We're going to look at the kind of tricky topic of faith. We had that brilliant reading from Hebrews, and it's amazing, isn't it? But in it, in that great list, we hear of women who received back their dead by faith, and yet others by faith died. What's going on there? By faith, the author says, all are being made perfect. We're going to ask the question, how are faith and prayer connected? And perhaps you've found yourself asking this question as you've been praying and perhaps wrestling with God. Maybe you've asked, how does my level of faith impact how God will answer my prayer? Maybe that's something you've asked. Why don't we pray before we begin our time together? Dear Lord, we ask that you would be with us. Help us to examine this important topic. Dear Lord, as we look at things like prayer and faith, and as we look at your character, we ask that you'd help us not to feel guilt and not to feel that we are racked with doubt. But we pray that we would see you clearly and that we would see your truth. We ask that you would bless our faith, you would grow it, and that you would bless our prayers and how we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the most amazing sentence that we just read from Matthew as well is that Jesus says this: if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And just before that, he's even painted a picture that's stronger than that. He says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. He's saying to his followers, if you have faith, you don't doubt, you can achieve awesome things, powerful things, impossible things in prayer. I've been wrestling with this idea over the last week, and I've just been thinking about how I pray, how I've been praying over the last 6 months. So I just want to share some stories with you. Amy and I have been praying for my parents. They're in a bit of a stressful work situation. My dad's almost about to retire. They wanted to move. So we've been praying for a house for them. And we found one that we thought was perfect. It's not too far from us. And we prayed about it. We gave them the information. And they didn't really act on it. They needed to work out a few bits and pieces with finance, all that kind of stuff. Finally, they came a couple of hours from Sydney. They visited the place. They saw the house. They loved it. They put an offer on it. And the real estate agent told them it had been sold that morning. So Amy and I decided we would pray. We pray that in the settlement it wouldn't work out, something would go wrong, that the real estate agent would offer it to my parents. A few weeks later, it didn't work out in the settlement, the real estate agent offered it to my parents and they bought the house. It was God answering a very specific prayer, one that was on our hearts. We also prayed for a friend of mine who was pregnant. The doctors diagnosed with two tests that it was the baby had Down syndrome, but we prayed and the baby was born healthy. Yet on the other side, this has happened this year, there's a friend's dad, he's an elder and a preacher in a church, and he was diagnosed with cancer. The whole church was praying for him. He confidently expected to make a complete recovery, but he got worse and he died. Also, I prayed for my brother. It's been about 10 years. I've been praying for him every day since he rejected Christ. I've been praying for him to come and to be saved. It's been about 10 years and he's no closer now. What do we do with that? There's a friend of mine who has a debilitating illness. At the beginning of the year, we were praying for a miracle. And then she said, actually, what I've got instead is contentment, and that's what I want. What do we do with that? And you may have similar stories in your life as you think about your prayer life and as you think about faith. When you think about prayers that have been answered powerfully and the prayers that haven't. What does it mean? Does it mean one day you prayed with faith and it worked powerfully? And then the other day somehow you had doubt, it slipped in and it failed? Well, if we press on that, it makes us a little bit uncomfortable, doesn't it? Because it seems that then perhaps it's up to me and my level of faith whether it will be answered. Instead of up to God and his level of power. Which makes more sense. But this topic is so big and so juicy. I think we wrestle with it all the time. Some of us, we put our faith in our prayers, and we do. We boldly ask God to act powerfully, and we expect him to act. We're all about faith. Others of us, we pray hesitantly. And we say, if it is your will. And we're all about dependence on God. And for both groups, it's about faith. If I can stereotype that, you know, there's a group of people who pray and they always expect a miracle. There's another group who pray and they never expect a miracle. That's the stereotype. But it has to do with faith. And what do we mean by faith? And it's more than belief. We saw that in the Hebrews reading. It's more than just something being intellectually true. In the letter that James writes, he says, yeah, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. But what is faith? We saw in Hebrews that's earnestly seeking God. It's longing for another country, the heavenly country. It's active. It's trusting. It's obedient. It's looking forward. Here's a definition that I think is really good. Faith means abandoning all trust in our own resources, laying hold on the promises of God in Christ and on the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But the picture of faith is active, and it's one of action. That's the list in Hebrews. They all acted. And yet we need to build on that. The reason faith is powerful is because the object of our faith is powerful. So let's take another look at Jesus. In Matthew 21, in the story that we had read, it was early in the morning. He was on his way back to the city and he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again," and immediately the tree withered. And the disciples were amazed at what they'd seen. This is a powerful picture. Jesus is God. He curses the tree and it withers straight away. And he promises even more impossible and amazing things directly to his disciples, throwing a mountain into the sea. And if we know of Jesus as he walked on the earth, he did amazing and powerful things. He was God on the earth. He calmed storms, healed diseases, raised people from the dead. More than that, Jesus is the creator and sustainer of the universe. Everything was made by him and for him and through him. And they are all sustained as he rules from heaven. We should pray expecting miracles because our God is powerful. When he says to his followers, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer," we should expect powerful things to happen. But Jesus also says this as a warning. If we look at the context in which he does this kind of weird thing of cursing the fig tree. He has actually just come from cleansing the temple. In that time, he has made judgment on the dead religion of the Jewish people of the time, on the corruption, on the ritual, on the superficiality, and he's cleansed the temple. Then he's come out, riding on a donkey as the humble king. He's seen the fig tree and he's cursed it. He's cursed it for its unfruitfulness. He's cursed a fig tree, which, if we look in the Old Testament, represents the Jewish nation. If Jesus is making this judgment on superficial religion, on superficial faith. We need to examine our own hearts. Have we settled for a kind of superficial religion? For a shallow faith? Or is our faith active, authentic, and real? Because an active faith leads to fruitfulness. When we're earnestly seeking God, that's our faith in action. That's active faith. We need to examine our faith. The warning from Jesus is not to settle for a corrupt or superficial religion. What does Jesus mean by prayer? You receive whatever you ask for in prayer. We've thought about this in the last few Sundays as we met together, and prayer in its essence is humble dependence on God. It's asking God to act in His power. When we approach God, we are coming as His children, as His servants, as His creatures, and we are to be humble. We do have a special place. We are members of His family. Yet we are acting in humble dependence on the Lord of the universe. And we have to be careful as we think about prayer, and this is what we've been talking about in the last few weeks. There are different patterns of prayer, but we have to be careful we're not just putting the right words in the right order to get God to do what we want. Or there's a more kind of nuanced, kind of tricky thing as we think about faith that can happen. As we think about our faith and praying, we can sometimes put our faith in our faith, which is really putting our faith in ourselves rather than in God. We need to examine our hearts and work that kind of tricky situation out. A passage which seems to promise great power actually says that this is to be done in prayer, which is great dependence on God. In the same event that happens in Mark, as Mark reports it, in 11:24, he says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." It's a great promise, great power there. But it's to be asked for in prayer, in dependence on God and His action. Well, what about unanswered prayer? This is the kind of flip side that we need to ask. What about prayer that goes unanswered? Is it because of my lack of faith? Well, one of the things we need to examine is that it may be due to sinfulness. The Bible talks about this in James 5. I'm just going to read from 14 to 16. And it talks about healing and sickness. "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." If someone is sick, it's not always the case, it may be due to sinfulness. Therefore, confession and prayer will heal that person. But that's not always the case. And yet, we just need to recognize it says here, prayer that is powerful and effective is prayer that is done by a righteous man or righteous woman. Our faith should lead us to confession first. Yeah, we're looking at the idea of unanswered prayer, and we need to look at the best, in a sense the best, the greatest example of unanswered prayer, and it's in Mark 15. I'll read verse 34. "At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" This is a picture of someone crying out to God in the hour of their need and receiving no answer. This is the only prayer, all the other prayers in the Bible that are recorded, Jesus refers to God as His Father. He speaks to Him as His Father. But this one is the exception. And this picture is a picture of God being forsaken by God. As the events unfold, there is great darkness for 3 hours. Jesus breathes His last. And then this happens in verse 39. "The centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. And the extraordinary picture that we see occur on the cross is that in this moment, God is revealed in his absence. He is most clearly seen when he's most absent here as Jesus cries out on the cross. Martin Luther, who's writing hundreds of years ago, was wrestling with this idea, and he wrote these words. He said, God is the hidden God, and he's most known through what is contrary. He is glory in shame, wisdom in folly, power in weakness, victory in defeat. God is most known through the cross. I think for us, we want to see God act powerfully through these interventions, which he does. But if we look at the cross, we recognize by faith the presence of God in weakness. And by faith, we recognize in the cross the presence of God who has hidden himself from the proud. He's hidden from the intellectuals, from the religious leaders, from the self-made man and woman. He has hidden himself. And on the cross, the silence, it does remain silent at that time. But we see in the cross this hidden God who is with us in suffering. And more than that, what happens on the cross, we don't just see God clearly, but the cross also brings us into the presence of God. We are able to approach the throne room of God through Jesus' death and resurrection. When we put our faith in the cross and what Jesus did, we are able to come in and to ask, to request, to expect healing and blessing. All good things from God. But we still have this question about unanswered prayers. I've been doing some reading and some researching, and it was really helpful to read the book of Revelation. I know what you're thinking. Really? But if you remember, if you've read in Revelation, the prayers of the saints are pictured there as an incense rising up to God. In Revelation 5:8 says, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, before Jesus. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. It goes on to say, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God and from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. It's good for us to remember that many of our prayers will be answered at the end of history. And we pray now, and we should, and they're directed to the present, but we see that picture of them being stored up to the final day. I wonder if you think that way as you're praying, as you're wrestling with unanswered prayer. The part of what we do in our prayers is, for instance, praying for the sick. We express our longing for the day when there is no more sickness, which we're promised in Revelation. When we pray for God to end war and oppression, we are expressing our longing for the day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of Christ. In Revelation 11. When we pray for mercy on those suffering natural disasters, which is happening now, we are expressing our longing for the day when creation itself will be remade. And we need to think that the prayers that have gone unanswered may in fact be stored up in that bowls of incense, held there by the 24 elders, waiting for the greater fulfillment than we can even imagine and anticipate. On the day that the seventh seal is opened, God will answer them in the fulfillment of history. And many of our prayers are lodged there, and one day they will impact the ultimate course of history. But we also need to feel that know that when we feel that God is absent, to know that Jesus has felt this as well, in greater measure. On the cross, when Jesus was forsaken, we also saw something amazing. We saw God's presence, love, compassion, and mercy. Our faith is in the cross, and the cross powerfully achieved the miracle. We were brought into the family of God. We are united with God through the cross. We are forgiven and we are promised this new creation that is coming. And this should be a comfort to us. It should be a peace to our heart. Philippians puts it like this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We need to be praying that way. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The very next line says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The final picture from the Bible I just want to share with you is that of the woman who was healed by Jesus. She'd been bleeding for many, many years. She had spent all that she had on doctors trying to be fixed. She knew that if she could just touch Jesus, she would be healed. In this picture, she had given up all of herself. She could focus on Jesus in absolute dependence. And in absolute faith, she knew she would be healed. And as it happens, Jesus actually says to her, your faith has made you well. In this picture, we see absolute faith and absolute dependence working together in the same way that prayer does. We shouldn't underestimate the miraculous. We should boldly ask God. We shouldn't be surprised when he answers prayers and we see amazing things. Our God is a God of power. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the Bible says. He has given us all things. He rules in heaven, and all creation is heading under his authority. But we should see that God answers prayer for his glory. So we should ask with faith, and we'll see these things. But we also see that when God doesn't answer prayer, it's also for his glory. And we should ask for faithfulness to persevere. We partake in his glory when we have absolute faith and absolute dependence. We're being made perfect in Christ. Yet we can pray powerfully, entering the throne room of God. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we do pray for faith. We do pray that we would not doubt. We pray that you would take away our sin. We ask that we would grow in faith as we contemplate you, your character, what you have done on the cross. We pray expecting miracles. We pray boldly. And dear Lord, we pray for your glory. I ask that you would save my brother. I ask that you would save my Muslim friend, Rihanna. I ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.